Well, hello, dear friends. I hope you're doing well today. I hope you can rejoice in the Lord even if the basement has water in it. I'm saying that because we were greeted with some water right here in our basement at East End Baptist Church. So hopefully we can get this problem fixed. I think it's overflowing water from the AC unit. But the Bible's still true. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even, I say again, rejoice. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. We pray you'll give us understanding. Give us the resolve to do what your word says and to follow Jesus and to let the light of Jesus shine all around us, that we would be a city set on a hill shining brightly. Bless our time in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and notice again the last three verses. Verses 21 through 23. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We're looking here at how to encourage fellowship in Christ, how to be friendly one to another in the body of Christ. And Paul comes to the end of this wonderful epistle of joy. And what does he say? He gives greetings to the believers. So how can we encourage fellowship with the saints? First of all, by greeting one another with genuine interest and friendliness. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And secondly, by building networks of fellowship among believers. So Paul in Rome sends greetings to the saints in Philippi, but he says, the brethren who are with me greet you. So we can build networks of fellowship among other believers. The brethren with Paul sent greetings to the Philippians, and the church in Rome, the saints, he said, the saints greet you. But especially those who are of Caesar's household. So the brethren, the saints, that is the church in Rome, they sent greetings to the Philippians. The churches were linked together spiritually, even if they had never met physically. But it's possible, since Philippi was a Roman colony, that some of them had traveled to Rome or they had come from Rome. And so maybe they had met some of the Christians there before. I'm intrigued by this greeting. He says, those who are of Caesar's household. You see, the gospel reached to high places. It included various people who were in the service of Caesar. It was not necessarily his immediate family, but all those that waited on him and worked for him. I'd like to share a quote from Craig Keener in the IVP Bible Background Commentary. Listen to this. The, quote, household of Caesar, end quote, could refer to anyone in the Roman civil service directly dependent on Caesar, including all his slaves and freedmen. It always indicated great prestige. It most likely refers here to the Praetorian Guard. If Paul was in Rome at this point, anyone who guarded him, Acts 28:16 and 30, would naturally be exposed to his teaching. If we go back to those two texts in Acts 28, we see that Paul was in his own rented house. But notice verse 16, Acts 28:16. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And verse 30, then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. So think of those guards who came to guard Paul. I imagine they had a wonderful Bible conference. They heard the teaching of the Apostle Paul. Other brethren, they came to visit him. Paul gives greetings back to Philippi and he builds a network. this greeting in the end of Philippians, where he says, especially those who are of Caesar's household, shows the power of the gospel. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel reached high places in Rome. It reached even into Caesar's household, those who waited on him, those who served him, those who were in his service, even guards who guarded the Apostle Paul. The gospel is powerful, and it can change hearts in high places and change hearts in lowly places. I want to turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs and read chapter 30, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 28. Hear these words. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. If God made a spider who could get into high places and important places, certainly he can make the gospel reach even to the Caesars of the land and to their household. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul said from Rome, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, meaning the gospel, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. So when Paul sends greetings to the Philippians from those in Caesar's household, it is a powerful testimony that the gospel can reach even to what may seem to us unlikely places. You know, we need to keep this in mind today, that the gospel would reach into the city halls of the land, into the governor's headquarters of the land, and yes, into the White House of our land, and into the Senate and Congress and Supreme Court. The gospel is powerful, and it can penetrate high places. This greeting shows the faithfulness of Paul in giving out the gospel everywhere, even in prison. So what a wonderful way to close this book, recognizing the power of the gospel, so that those in Caesar's household are sending greetings to a church, the believers in Philippi. Here's another quote. This is from the preacher's homiletic commentary. It is a suggestive testimony to the unwearied diligence and influence of the apostle in using every opportunity to make known the saving grace of the gospel. I like that. Unwearied diligence and influence of the apostle. Yes, it is. It's a great testimony to that. And so the gospel went to the very household of Caesar. There was a great, perhaps the world's greatest in his day, Greek scholar, A.T. Robertson. And here's what he said in his word pictures. The gospel works upward from the lower classes. It was so at Corinth and in Rome. It is true today. It is doubtful if Nero had yet heard of Paul, for his case may have been dismissed by lapse of time. But this obscure prisoner who has planted the gospel in Caesar's household has won more eternal fame and power than all the Caesars combined. Nero will commit suicide shortly after Paul has been executed. Nero's star went down, and Paul's rose and rises still. Praise God for the power of the gospel, even to Caesar's household. So let me ask a question today as we think about this truth, building fellowship among believers, encouraging that, and by building a network of fellowship, how can you build a network? We closed yesterday by a suggestion that when you're talking to a Christian friend at church and a newcomer comes by, or maybe it's someone who's in the church but not so well known by you, how about pulling them into your circle of friends, even introducing them? As a minimum, greeting them in a friendly way, but not making them feel like they're outside of your circle, rather that they're included, that they're important, that they're part of you. How can you network to build fellowship? Another way is through genuine prayer and prayer requests. To be able to tell someone, I've been praying for you, not in a boastful way, but in a humble way, a way of encouragement. That builds such fellowship when you know that other believers in Christ are praying for you. What an encouragement it is to hear those simple words, I've been praying for you. That is such a blessing, and it helps build a network of fellowship one with the other and encouragement. Can you introduce someone to your Christian friends? Can you arrange? Can you be a part of one church networking with another? All of that is part of building fellowship for the glory of God. Well, there's one more truth that I want to see here, and it is in verse 23. And today, and Lord willing, tomorrow we'll focus on this. How can we build fellowship? How can we encourage fellowship? Well, by praying for the empowerment of grace in each believer. Paul closes this epistle with these words, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Or some Bibles will say, be with your spirit. Amen. Here is a prayer, a desire that believers would experience God's grace. You know, Paul depended all through his life on the grace of God. He began this letter in chapter 1, verse 2, with grace. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He ends this chapter with grace. Is there a time in the life of a Christian when we don't need grace? Never. Always we need grace. Someone may say, but I thought that was salvation. Yes, it is. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friend, if you haven't come to Christ for salvation, run to the cross and find there the free gift of God in Christ. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E, someone has said, and that's for sure. God's riches poured out on us at the expense of the Lord Jesus Christ. So grace is for salvation, but grace is for sanctification day by day by day, becoming more like Christ. And grace will be for our glorification when Jesus comes back. There is never a time in our lives when we don't need the grace of God. May you be empowered and strengthened by God's grace today. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up there tomorrow, but I'd like us to go to two more countries for prayer. This is number 47 on the persecution index. It's United Arab Emirates. If you look at a map and find Saudi Arabia, you will find Yemen, Oman, and the UAE, United Arab Emirates. And let's pray for believers there. There are over 9 million people there. There are Christians there, but let's pray for their strength. And number 48 is a country in Africa, Cameroon. We had dear friends who are missionaries there. They have a population of over 25 million people. They rank number 48 on the persecution index. So let's lift these believers up to the Lord today. Our Father, we come to you on behalf of Christians, believers in Jesus Christ who have been saved by grace in the United Arab Emirates. Lord, you know each one by name. We don't know them by name, but you do. And we ask, Lord, that your sanctifying grace will be their portion today. We pray that you will give them great power by giving them great grace. We pray that they will have boldness to share the gospel of grace, that others will be saved and will join their numbers. encourage their hearts, and we ask that you would give them favor with the governing authorities. And Father, we come to you on behalf of believers in Cameroon. I pray, Lord, for the missionaries who serve there, that you will protect them and keep them. We pray for the pastors who are serving there and loving their people and feeding them the Word of God. Will you multiply their number? May sound biblical teaching be given throughout the land. And we pray that many will come to know Christ as the gospel is shared. So, Father, we lift up these countries to you and the Christians that are in them and pray that they will be sound in the faith and will stand strong in the grace of God. And we pray, Lord, for the Church of Jesus Christ in America, that our hearts will be turned upward. Lord, that we will be filled with discernment and truth, and we will be able to apply your word to our culture, to our society. Revive us, Lord, according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for joining today on Bible Sunshine. Have a wonderful day. May God's love shine upon you.